Well, we're almost there. A few more days. I know when I was a kid, I always thought about how many sleeps were left. Now, as I'm an adult, I think about more along the lines of how many days are left of work, you know? And let's be honest, how productive are you going to be over the next day or yeah, you're going to he's going to be pretty productive. We've got a bunch of services going on as he announced earlier, but some of us, let's be honest, we are looking forward to Tuesday at noon. Are we right? Yeah. Yes, we are. We eagerly anticipate. That's what Advent is. And there's just all kinds of things we eagerly anticipate. Of course, this time of year I was thinking back to some of the gifts that I was eagerly anticipating. We had Steve showing us, talking to us about his beloved little collection of sea monkeys last week. Got me thinking about the thing I was really looking forward to as a little kid, and it was a little helicopter. Now, it wasn't like the helicopter drone. Nice job, by the way, the sweaters we got going on right here. Christmas sweaters, nicely done. Sorry. Trust me. You don't know how many times I actually stopped the squirrel moments, but that right there, those three sweaters are beautiful. Anyhow, little helicopter, not the drone type, right, that are kind of cool. You got the remote controls, and there's no cords or anything, and they're flying all over the place. No. Back in my day, what was really exciting was this little helicopter, and I had these two little stick controllers, right, and then this little cord went to, like, home base for this little helicopter, and then it had about this little 3-foot little wire to this little, some of you remember this thing, right? It was so exciting. You could make it go up and down, about this high off the ground, right? Like just, and it could go in a circle. Whew, man, was that exciting, right? Things change though, as you get a little older, pretty excited about a baseball glove 1 year. Not necessarily around Christmas, of course, but I remember being eagerly anticipating the idea of maybe meeting some young woman at some point who would think that I'm all right. I don't know. That's just weird. But that, could get married someday, have a family. And I had never even crossed my mind about grandchildren. But now that I've got a grandson that I'm going to see on Christmas Day, 7 o'clock ferry, woo, we are out of here to Calgary to go see little Max. I didn't understand how great it would be. The anticipation things, they kind of change over the years, but we all have anticipation. We all have things that we're eagerly awaiting. Well, over this Advent season, we have had a couple different messages on this. Pastor Steve reminded us of Mary and told us a story about Mary, and there were a couple of really great take-homes from that message that you may or may not remember. And the first one was that God just sometimes chooses just incredibly unlikely people to use for his story, for his glory. Mary was just an unlikely, young little, we don't know exactly, 12, 13, 14, I don't know, not exactly sure, but just, she wasn't of any great stature or anything like that, like some from some amazing, throne or setting. She was just Mary. And God chooses the ordinary. God chooses often the less than likely candidate, if you like, to be used. And that's a story of Mary, and that's a story for us. Not only that, but God often, it seems, chooses people from unlikely places and chooses to do things in unlikely places. And God can show up anywhere and do something amazing. And we need to hear that, and we need to know that for our story. Last week, Steve Karadimas shared with us the story of Elizabeth and Zachariah. And at the beginning of his message, he asked an interesting question, and he said, "Are you afraid to hope? Are you afraid to dream? Like, have you experienced so much of life that, dashed expectations and dreams and ideas, things that have just sort of crashed in and behind you, that you're at the place now where you're a mature adult and you're kind of beyond that now? That maybe life has just kind of knocked that hope out of you." And he said, don't allow life to do that to you. Dream again. Our God's can do what he says he wants to do. We actually, we have a saying that that started back at the beginning of September. We have staff meetings every week, and we were discussing some things, and Pastor Steve shared this phrase that he said, I'm trying to lean into this, and I'd like us to lean into this as a staff together. And the phrase was simply this: no limiting beliefs. No limiting beliefs. We are going to be a staff. We are going to be as best as we can to influence, encourage, and lead you in such a way that you're not going to live a life of limiting beliefs. That we are going to live in the existence of our God and the fact that He has unlimiting power and opportunities all around us, that God can do what God can do, and we're going to trust Him for that, and we're going to ask for that, and we're going to do our best to live and lead in that. And that was the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. You guys think I'm old. She was old. And yet she was able to have this son who went out before Jesus and told everybody about this guy who was coming. And it's an amazing story as you read it and as you consider it. This morning I get a chance to talk to us about Joseph. Joseph is, of course, big character, big player in this story, and yet there's not a lot said about Joseph, but there are some things that we can discover that were swirling around Joseph and his life, and then some things I think we can discern, maybe learn out of who Joseph was as a person. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, one of the story sections of the story where Joseph's story is articulated. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. There's some things here for us to learn, some things for us to discover, and I think we could all agree that there was a lot of unknown in the world of Joseph at this point. There were a lot of the things that Joe did not know as he was entering into this story, if you like. I mean, one of the things is he really didn't know Mary that well. You see, the way marriages took place are not quite the way they are today, where we might grow up with someone in an elementary school, you kind of thought someone was cute or whatever, and that meant you had to pick on them, right? And then it got to the stage where the pick-on stage was over, and now you're sort of nervously trying to sit somewhat in their vicinity, maybe, and be seen, maybe, and then later on it turns into a full-on relationship, and you get engaged, and some 10, who knows how many years later, you get married. Well, you know that person quite well. Marriages in that day were most often arranged. And he would have known Mary, likely, but to really know her, he didn't know her that well. He was anticipating, and he was expecting, you know, honestly, some things like I think every guy in this room, and I think the ladies too, but I'll speak from the male perspective, that, you know, when you're engaged and the wedding day is coming, the closer you get to the wedding day, you are eagerly anticipating something. Yes, I'm talking about that something. I didn't understand what the word consummate means. It says in here, the thing I was anticipating, the closer my day of my wedding came, was the consummation of my marriage. I didn't know that's what it was called. But I was eagerly anticipating, you guys are nervous. But that all changed. What in the world is going on? It wasn't me. And these things are now swirling in his head. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know what's going on. She's pregnant. I thought I knew how this worked. It's interesting in the story. Get a little insight into something. So God came along to Joseph, right, in a dream, and said, all of this is legit. It's all above board. This is actually something that I have done. This is the angel of the Lord communicating to Joseph. She didn't sleep around. She didn't have a bad night one night. She didn't, none of that kind of stuff. God, and in Mary, she's going to conceive a baby through God. It's a miracle. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. But Joseph, this is what is taking place. And we read and we understand that after he woke up from his dream, he went ahead and said, okay, I'll do what God said. And I think we would probably like that, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you like God to come along and to tell you exactly what he wants you to do through a dream? If God would just do that, that would make it so much easier to trust him and to follow him, would it not? I mean, come on. Have you not woken up some mornings and you're like, holy cow, was that a dream? Was that real? Like, it just feels so vivid, and you're really not sure. Was that real? It kind of, I don't know. Was it? We would like God to vividly come to us in a dream. And if God did that, no problem. I'd trust him. I'd follow him. Don't you think that would be easier? You see, I tend to think so as well. But the story throughout God's word and the story throughout human history is that although it is sometimes, it's not always. I mean, we've got story after story after story where God did amazing things, like miraculous things, crazy things, things that defied human logic and human reason and the way things naturally go. And yet what we can see is that there were some who followed and there were some, many, who didn't at all. And so although we might like a dream, I think some people would kind of go, you know what, God, could you just write that down for me? Because I've got a bit of a bad memory and I'm not always sure. You know, if you could just write that down for me, I could go back and I could read that again and I think then I'd probably get it. I think probably some of them were saying that. Here's the deal. It's hard to follow God. It's hard to trust him. Sometimes it's hard to discern. And Joseph was in the middle of trying to figure out what was it that God was saying. I mean, everything had changed. And so there were things that were starting to become clear for Joseph. Although he didn't fully understand, he was told. And so now he had to kind of wrap his brain, like his whole anticipation of what this whole marriage thing was going to look like he was going to be married to Mary for a while, then they would have a kid, right? Now he's stepping in like a stepfather, like boom, instant family. Things were starting to become clear. But you see, one thing that Joe did know, there was lots he didn't know, but one thing he did know, through hearing the stories that we hear about as we read through his story, the Bible, is that God could step in and do things that defied normal human logic and reason. That God would step in. I mean, sometimes things are a little bit confusing at the beginning and hard in the middle, and it never, ever really gets all that easy. But God sometimes asks us to do things that we kind of go, you want me to do what? And Joseph got that. And so Joseph recognized that he had a significant decision to make. What was he going to do with this information that he got in the dream? God had spoken. What was he going to do? How was he going to follow through on that? The story was becoming clearer, But where was Joseph going to be in that story? What was that going to look like? You see, God was up to something. And one of the things that I think we sometimes struggle with, at least I do, so I'll ride point on this one, is that sometimes I recognize that God is calling me to do something, and I have a decision to make. Am I going to allow fear to deter me? Or am I going to follow through? We receive that nudging, that prompting, and we're not sure, should I, shouldn't I? Well, I wouldn't want to offend. Could be awkward. And so we back away. Those are the decisions that we have to make regularly in order to see God work in our lives. And that was the decision Joseph had to make. He made it. He woke up and he decided to trust and follow the leading that God had for his life. Well, those are the circumstances sort of around Joseph. I think there's some things that we can learn from Joseph, his life, like actually who he was as an individual. One of the things that we discover about Joseph is that he was a craftsman. We read that later on, and I don't know why, but I used to always think that Joseph worked with wood. Seems reasonable, unless you've looked at any picture of where Joseph raised Jesus. There's not many trees there, folks. Maybe Joseph went to town. Maybe he like just really went for it and like took down the trees. I don't know. Okay, he's a craftsman. He worked with stone and he probably worked with wood as well. But you see, one of the things that I discovered yesterday is that I'm not going to get back 5 hours of my life that was incredibly frustrating. And I discovered that I'm not as much of a hands-on person as I thought, maybe a craftsman, if you like. Holy smokes. Yeah, bad day. You would not have been proud of your pastor yesterday and how he was responding to inanimate objects and things like that. But you see, Joseph, as a craftsman, I mean, working in a day where they didn't have the kinds of equipment that we have and the things that they could build, as we have seen, some of you have seen as you've traveled in those parts of the world, one thing that you know about him is that man had perseverance. He had determination. He didn't give up easily. He understood what hard work was. That's part of who Joe was. I think we also learn and can discern that Joseph was a man of conviction. In the reading that I had for you, it says in my Bible, it says, I can't find it now. That's so much fun when the cameras are on. Oh, it says that he was a husband and he was faithful to the law. You go down and you read the little notes at the bottom of your page, possibly, and it says there, or he was a righteous man. What this meant was that he believed in God, and he was doing everything in his life to follow God. His conviction was that there was a God, and this God mattered in his everyday life, and he was going to do his best to follow him and trust him in all that life brought his way. And I was thinking about just that term righteousness. You know, what does that really mean? And I came up with this little phrase thing. I think it helps me. It may help you. But it's just simply this. Being righteous is doing the right thing, the right way, and for the right reason. The right thing, right way, and for the right reason. See, we take any one of those elements out of there, and it loses something. See, I know that as a parent. I could get my kids to do something, you know, the right thing. And if they didn't do it the right way, but they still got the right thing done, well, it wasn't necessarily all that bad, but maybe. But if they were doing it for the wrong reason, that was no good. See, all of these things matter. The why of what you do matters. The who, the what, and the how you get there matters. Providing for your family matters, but just because you've provided, if you've done it in a less than above board way, that's not good. right? Like, just little things. Like, it mattered. Right thing, right way, right reason. Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph was not easily swayed or deterred. He was steadfast, if you like. And I think what one thing that we can consider within our own lives is whether you are actually a follower of Jesus or whether you're here this morning and you're on a discovery path. You're trying to figure out, you know, is this Jesus really all he's cracked up to be and all? And that's a great journey to be on, and it's so good to have you here. But so whether you are someone who is actually following Jesus or trying to discover who he is, we all have some form of faith that we live by, something that we sort of have convictions about. And I think this story reminds us to ask this question, is can our faith handle the life that we encounter? Because life will test your faith. Ask Joseph. Ask Mary. Do your convictions, does your faith, can it stand up to the test of life? Can it weather it, if you like? Can it answer the hard questions of life? Second thing we see here about sort of the character, if you like, of Joseph is that he was a man of compassion. It's interesting to me in the story that as we read this, we discuss, you know, he understands that Mary is pregnant, and he's like, oh man. And his whole sort of world has changed. His fiance, right? Betrothed. He's pregnant. It says there that he decided that what he was going to do is not to expose her to public disgrace, but just to divorce her quietly. See, in that day, you get pregnant before you were married, and especially within that culture there, there would have been incredible shame and scorn. Literally to the point where could be stoned to death. Now, let me remind you, Joseph doesn't know Mary that well at this point. It's not like he's known her, you know, forever. And yet there's something about the character of who Joseph is that he has compassion. He didn't want her just to be put away, to be put into the public square, and he was scorned and shamed. He wanted to protect her. Then, of course, he has the dream, and he takes it another step further, and he's willing to walk with her in the midst of that shame, in the midst of the conversations, in the midst of the people going, Mary, why don't you just own up to it? You had a bad night, right? Like, you just own up to it. Like, be an adult here. The people, she's 12. Yeah, they matured more at that stage. And now I'm lost. I love that when that happens. That's okay. Oh, yeah, why don't you own up to it? Why wouldn't you do that? And you see, you think the family is just going to completely accept the story? Like, how hard would that be? Well, God did this. Oh, please. Now you're using God. It's like saying you prayed about it, and so you're not supposed to actually love your neighbor or love your wife or whatever. God told you not to. No, don't use God that way. He was a man of compassion. And you see, compassion, when we begin to understand compassion is something where in order to exercise compassion, you have to sacrifice something to be compassionate. Isn't that right? Joseph certainly did that. Joseph chose to walk alongside Mary in this difficult time. And you're like, yeah, but God told him to. Yeah, but how many times does God tell you to do something and you're not willing to walk that way? Do you see what I'm saying? He had compassion. He cared for her. I mean, this is going to be a difficult time. Is Mary showing? Like, Mary looks like she's showing. Wow, it's really hard to tell with that garment. I know, but she kind of leaned back and it looked a little bit. No, she's probably just putting on weight. At 12? No, I think she's showing. Like, all of these conversations are going on. And Joseph goes, I don't want you to go alone. I want to go with you. He was betrothed. He was committed. And God had said, no, Joseph, take her. You are her husband. You will be the father of Jesus. So he had convictions, he had compassion, and the third thing I think we see in this story is that he was courageous. You see, he recognized that God was up to something. He didn't know exactly what. Yes, he had heard that Jesus was going to, be a Messiah and God with us and all those kinds of things. But the people in that day, just like the reading we read earlier, the Advent reading, they were expecting this Messiah to come in and to be some form of civic or militaristic or national leader because they wanted the Romans taken down. And yet that was confusing to him because what he was told there, he heard that, Savior, forgiver of sins, and that sounds different than going out and killing people. Like, what is going on? So he wasn't sure, but he said, I'm in. I don't know what you've got, God. I've seen and I've heard stories of how you've acted and worked in the past, and following you and trusting you in the middle of some of the things you do is not the easy way. But I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to step into this. And I'm going to follow you. He faced that with Mary. Later on in this story, not here, but a couple chapters later, you discover that they had an interaction with Herod, King Herod, which, again, we read the story back and all that. No, we got to think about someone who is incredibly powerful. And this guy was a little off his rocker, so he's a little unstable. That would have been a fascinating, frightful experience that he was having with King Herod. King Herod, he actually defied King Herod, and he took his family and courageously led them down to Egypt to protect them. Joseph had courage. Some of you know that Pastor Steve is a voracious reader, reads like crazy, reads all the time, actually reads to relax. Who does that? Well, Pastor Steve does. Well, some of you do. I don't. It's not my, I should. There you go. Thank you very much. Whew. This has been very interactive today. I'm not a very good pastor. The whole Narnia series doesn't turn my crank, to be honest with you. I dutifully read the series with my kids. We've got it on CD player. We listen to it as we travel between Calgary and BC all the time. And so I heard this fascinating interaction in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You had the children, right, interacting with the beavers. You should be impressed that I know this. And the children are having this very interesting conversation with the beavers about God and the character of God and sort of the nature of God. And they were asking all these questions, and you had this fun little interaction back and forth. And the kids asked a question that you and I ask. So this is not a child's question. This is very insightful. And the children asked, is he safe? No, he's not safe, but he's good. No, he's not safe, but he's good. Is that the God that you trust? Is that how you think of him? I mean, we've heard through this Advent season that trusting God and following him is not a life of ease. The story of Mary, it said that on Mary, the favor of God rested. Oh, it's going to be so serene, and it's going to be silent night all the time, and, just beautiful, harmonious life. Anything but, right? The favor of God does not mean ease. God's first priority is not our safety. I mean, look at his son and what he experienced. Now listen, God will never abandon us. And sometimes God keeps us safe. But that, safety and doing what God wants does not always mix. Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He never leaves us. He never abandons us. We're in the midst of life, and he's working on us, and he's growing us, and he's challenging us, and he's working through us in the midst of the good, the bad, and everywhere in between. Joseph knew that. Mary knew that. Some of you know that in a powerful way. But I want us to ask ourselves one more time this Christmas season, where does conviction, where does compassion, and where does courage show up in your story? Listen, I've got all kinds of convictions, and I get way too worked up about some stuff that just doesn't matter. I want my convictions, like the things that really determine and define my life, to be more on who God is and how God is leading me. What is his call on my life? So that when a call is hard, I'm in. I mean, it's a challenge, but I'm in. Because this is what God has called me to, and I will trust him and I will follow him. How about compassion? Compassion is not easy. Being merciful, being gracious is not easy. It takes sacrifice. Are we there? Are we willing to live that? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to experience that, to offer that to others this season, in the year to come? It will take some sacrifice on your life. Your reputation may get a little tarnished. What in your life takes courage? Where do you need God to show up powerfully in your life? He'll do it. He's never asked us to do anything that he won't provide us the knowledge, the understanding, and the power to step in. Where does that show up in your story? It's all in this story. And I know that God wants it to be a part of your story. And I trust and pray that it will become a part of our story. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this Advent season. And just for me, just the reminder again, you know, through these different characters of how you stepped in. And you changed what was sort of scripted, at least in the minds of Joseph and Mary. You used people who really didn't have much of a resume. And that, God, that's kind of your deal. You want to use men and women who are just willing to be used. And so, God, I pray as we go into this season, as we go through this season and into the new year, that we will have convictions that really do grow. That when life kind of hits us hard, when our life and our faith kind of start colliding, that our faith continues to carry us through in a way that we could be called righteous men and women. God, this is for your glory. It's for the good of others, and that is certainly what Jesus was all about. May we get that in a more profound and a more all-inclusive way this season. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.